Creating Change with Doug Foresta, a show dedicated to creativity and emotional healing. Creating Change on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Doug Foresta.
Hello and welcome to Creating Change. This is Doug Foresta. I could not be more excited for this episode. My guest today is Nikki Groom. She's a message shaper for movement makers. She helps people tell their unforgettable stories. And what we're going to discuss today, what I want to talk about is how do you, I guess if I had to sum it up, it's how do you stop playing small? And maybe you are putting content out there. Maybe you are marketing yourself in some way, but you still feel like there's something that's holding you back, or you're not happy with the traditional ways of marketing. Nikki Groom, thank you for joining me.
It is my absolute pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So yeah, that's what I'd love to start with that conversation. And maybe to start with what I think about is, you know, one of the things that I know that you talk about is this idea that women in particular have been conditioned to stay quiet and play small. Can you say a little bit more about that and sort of how you came to that conclusion?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly reflects my own experiences, but historically as well, you know, women have been marginalized. We have not been always included in the conversations that we should be included in. You know, certainly the odds have been stacked against us in many ways. And so I think that this is now playing into that there are more and more women becoming entrepreneurs, starting their own businesses, which is so encouraging. And we should definitely be inspired by that. But at the same time, I think that we are bringing with us, and it's not just women, I have to say, but I do think that it affects many women. Right. We are bringing with us this sort of this almost like shame around really being seen and being heard and being comfortable with that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's interesting you talk about there's a lot of women entrepreneurs, but I think part of the reason that more and more women are going into entrepreneurship is, at least one reason, is because they're looking at, say, corporate America, and they're looking around in the traditional workplace and they're saying, I don't see me at the top. You know, I don't see myself represented at the top of these organizations. So if I'm going to really be successful, I'm going to have to do it myself.
Exactly that. And again, you know, that does reflect my own experience. I did work for a great company for many years on both sides of the Atlantic. That's how I came to be in the States in the first place. But it got to the point where I kind of hit up against the proverbial glass ceiling, and I was told that I was at the upper end of what they could offer me. I think it was maybe 1-2 years later, they were offering me, I think, like, you know, $40,000 more than I had been earning to come back. So, you know, and obviously times change, but from my point of view, from my perspective, I felt that there was nowhere else for me to go. And I didn't feel necessarily like I was as valued, as seen and as heard as I would have liked to have been. And, you know, when you're your own business owner and you're doing your own thing, then you don't have to worry about that as much. But then when it comes to marketing, the very essence of that is, you know, deciding what your message is and then speaking up about it, whether that be through a blog post or through video marketing or by starting a podcast or whatever it might be. It can be very daunting to kind of put out your thoughts into the world and really stand up for what you believe in, because potentially people might not resonate with that, or they might unsubscribe, or they might not want to listen to your podcast.
That's right.
You know, so it's scary because we don't want to be rejected, basically, right? So,
well, let's talk a moment about your own story. So judging from your accent, mm-hmm. I'm guessing you grew up in Texas.
I did. Yes. You know, it's so funny because people ask me all the time if I'm from Australia. And I think it's because I've been here for 9 years now. And so my accent is so messed up. If I speak to a British person, if you were a Brit, and especially if you're from the Midlands like I am, then I would be sounding so English right now. But I can't control it. I don't know what my accent's doing. And some people say that I sound really English and I have nothing to worry about. And some people say that I sound American. So American. Or Australian, or yeah.
Oh, that's too funny.
Anyway, so,
where did you grow up and what was your experience with voice and your own voice?
Yeah, I grew up in a town where it was a very sort of working class town. Many people sort of were born there, found a good job and worked there and stayed there and are happy to kind of stay put. But for me, I always felt called to leave and to go off and do something significant in some way. And originally I thought that I was going to move to London, and I actually got offered a job there. And when I told my boss at the time, he was like, I think you should hold fire on that. I don't think they're offering you enough money, and I think that another opportunity is going to come up for you. He had no idea. But sure enough, within a few months, the marketing manager in the US had given in her 2 weeks notice, and me and my boss kind of had the same idea. And he was like, I think you should go over there and help them out for a bit. I think originally he was thinking that he would send me over for a few months. Then we kind of agreed a year. And after that year, I wasn't ready to come home, and they weren't ready to let me go. And I stayed. And, you know, 9 years later, I'm like, oh my goodness, I've been here for 9 years. And back in, I think it was, 2012, I started what I would call my side hustle, my business on the side of my full-time job. So I'd work all day long and then come home and work until like 2 a.m. regularly.
What was your full-time job, Nikki?
In marketing. Yeah, marketing. I was a marketing manager.
So you're doing all marketing all day for a company. You're coming home and you're working till 2 a.m.
I don't know how I did it, quite honestly. Like, it's not exactly like a recipe for success that I would recommend to anybody else. I could never do that today. I don't know if it's just because I'm getting older, but I can rarely work past like 6 p.m. now. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. But that's amazing. And then how about, you know, so you're helping other people, right? You're doing marketing, you're helping mm-hmm. other people, you're helping companies, you're helping organizations to share their voice. But what about your own, you know, what were you doing to market your own business or get your own voice out there?
Yeah. Thank you for bringing me back to that. And I just want to kind of add that growing up, I was extremely shy and I didn't really feel like I had a voice. And I want to add that because I think so often our personal stories really reflect the work that we end up doing, or a kind of a really nice mirror of what goes on, you know, those choices that we make later on in our lives. So you had asked me, what was that question again?
I was asking you about your own voice, about what, you know, did you find, you know, you said you were, you know, painfully shy and you growing up. Mm-hmm. And so how did that translate? I mean, you're in a different country. I can't imagine what that's like to live. I mean, I've traveled abroad, but I've never lived in another country. I can't imagine what it's like to live in a country you didn't grow up in, to be starting this business. What was your experience like to get your own voice out there?
Yeah, I think that, going back to when I was extremely shy and didn't feel comfortable with speaking up, I just learned that I had to start doing it. And so when I found myself as a marketing manager at the age of 22, I had no marketing experience. I had to learn everything on my feet. And, I was meeting with these ad reps and all these different people, and I had to hold my own and I had to be confident enough to negotiate and bargain and ask for what I wanted, which is something that I had historically struggled with myself. And so it kind of threw me in at the deep end, but it was such a great learning experience. And I think that's, you know, it taught me so many skills that I can definitely carried over to my journey as an entrepreneur, you know, really kind of figuring things out as I go, being prepared to learn, being open to new experiences, and becoming more and more comfortable with being seen and with using my voice. It's a process and it's difficult. And so I think that I am so passionate about helping other people with that because I have wrestled with it myself. So I get it, you know.
Well, one of the things I know you talk about on your website is this idea of telling your unforgettable story. What do you mean by that? Like, what is an unforgettable story?
Yeah, I think it's the story that only you can tell. And it's the story that resonates with your clients or your customers and helps them feel connected to you because they realize you get it and that you see them and that you've experienced something of what they've gone through. I think that's such a powerful way to connect with other people and to build those relationships, to build that trust. And yes, in the long term, to grow your business through you know, earning more sales and what have you. But that's really what I'm talking about there.
You know, I think of I kind of talk about this too with podcasting when I talk to people about, you know, what makes for a really great podcast or, you know, how do you connect with people? And are you familiar with the song Killing Me Softly? It's usually attributed to Roberta Flack.
Yes.
So, mm-hmm. you know, there's a line in that song that says he sang as if he knew me in all my dark despair. And so, you know, obviously not only for pain, but also for other things. But the idea being, you know, Killing Me Softly is kind of like the way I think of that song is it's, you know, I heard that we all have that had experience of you go through something in life and then you hear the perfect song that just really just captures exactly how you feel. And you say, oh, my God, that's exactly how I feel, but I couldn't say it myself. And when I hear you talk about that, that's sort of what I think of, you know, is that when someone hears a story that is just so them that they're drawn to you, right? You don't need to sell them with any kind of hard tactics.
Exactly. Yeah, I always talk about the fact that the old way of marketing doesn't work anymore. And the new way of marketing is just being a human and being an empathetic human being and really putting your shoes in yourself in the shoes, I should say, of your clients and your customers and the people that you most want to serve and really trying to understand, okay, what are they struggling with and how are they feeling? I think that sometimes we get so caught up in customer avatars and, okay, what does my person do at 6 p.m. every right. evening when actually you can just really tap into those pain points and what their struggle is every day, particularly if you're a service-based entrepreneur or if you're creating programs and things like that. And even if you're offering a product as well, it still works like that. So
yeah. I have a question for you. I'm curious about this one because I hear this a lot, you know, because I think we have similar, we have some similar clients probably that we serve. And I'm curious about your thought about this. People will say, okay, I'm going to share my voice, but I'm only going to do blogging because I'm not going to, I hate my voice. I hate the way I look. So I'm not going to do video and I'll have somebody, you know, write my blogs for me because I really hate the way I write too. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you think that, I guess I struggle with the idea of in one level, if you really don't like doing video, part of me says, well, then don't do it. But on the other hand, I guess I'm curious about your thoughts about, you know, if we're putting ourselves out there in the world, is it enough? Like, is it enough if I'm terribly introverted? Should I focus on blogging if that's all I'm comfortable with? I'm just curious about your thoughts about that.
Yeah, I think that there are a few different responses to that question. So definitely, sure. I agree with you. I think that if you're really forcing something like video, I don't particularly like video, to be honest with you. And my goal is to eventually get around to doing more video, but I don't really like to be on camera.
Right. A lot of people do.
And you know why that is? It's because there's this... certainly, if you look at some of the top entrepreneurs who are out there, particularly in the online marketing space, they're typically very attractive. You know, they look like they're, you know, maybe they used to be a supermodel or something like that. And that's like a hard thing to live up to. And so when we set the bar that high, it's kind of like, oh, I don't want to go on camera because I don't look good enough or I don't sound good enough. I know that I do that to myself and I know that other people do that to themselves. So in one sense, it's like, yeah, it might just be stuff that you've got to work through and just challenge yourself to grow and to do it anyway and to stop caring so much about what other people think. But on the other hand, I don't think that you should force certain ways of marketing if you just don't find them joyful in any way. So I really do believe in marketing in a way that feels good to you, as well as really noticing where your people are. So for example, a lot of my people, most of my people are on Facebook and they're on Instagram. So I know that those are two platforms that I should focus on. I know that when I write blog posts, people really like that. I don't write them as often as I should, but I know that whenever I write something, people will say things like, yours are some of the only emails that I ever read because I refuse just to write something for the sake of it. I won't just write, you know, these are my five top tips to doing X, Y, and Z. I will take the time to really write a heartfelt post. And I think that's what people want more of. They just want to feel connected to you. So I think, you know, especially with the whole video thing, people want to see you really, you know, especially if you're working with people remotely. They love to hear you, which is the beauty of podcasts, as you know. And they, again, it just comes back to that connection piece and just feeling like they know you, feeling like they can trust you, feeling like they have a relationship, even a friendship with you. you know, I know, for example, someone like Jasmine Starr, I've noticed that she is so great at responding to everybody on social media. I just discovered her a couple of months ago. And I can't believe I hadn't heard of her before, because she has like a crazy number of followers and she's doing really well for herself. But I noticed even this, you know, the smallest mention on Twitter or Instagram, she's all over it and she's responding. And I just think that's great. I think that being open to those two-way conversations that are happening can feel really fulfilling. Like, yeah, I'm actually reaching people. I'm actually touching people's hearts, and they're actually they actually identify with what I'm talking about, and it makes sense to them, and they want more of it.
You know, I'm so glad you mentioned that. I just want to speak for a moment to the thing about, we do see these people on video, especially like you said, in the internet marketing space, who are like, you know, it's like Instagram models, basically. It's the internet marketing version of Instagram models. And the idea that, so that's one model, right? Or no pun intended, but truly, if people like you, I mean, I wonder what your thoughts are about this. You know, if people like you and they trust you and they, and you come across as authentic and they go, wow, Nikki is a really great person, I just think people aren't really judging us in the same ways that we're judging ourselves.
I totally agree. Yeah, thank you for saying that. I totally agree. I think it really comes down to authenticity and transparency and just really opening the doors on your business and letting people see a little bit behind the scenes and what you're up to, and allowing them to be part of the process, you know, asking questions. What is your biggest struggle around this? And what would you love me to create for you? And that's the beauty of community. And you can introduce that kind of two-way dialogue anywhere. So whether that's in a Facebook group or in an email, or you can ask those questions anywhere. And I think that people love to feel a part of things. They love to feel a part of something. That's why I talk a lot about, my podcast is called Movement Makers, because I love to help people who really want to make a difference in the world, but maybe can't communicate effectively about what they're doing, or struggle to show up. And so that whole idea of making a difference, there's other people who are also going to be drawn to that cause or that movement, or your message and what you really stand for. And so, I think that is absolutely more important than what you look like. I mean, I love it when people get on Facebook Live and they, you know, women especially, they haven't put any makeup on, haven't brushed right. their hair. I know that drives some people crazy, because they have had conversations with other people who are like, right. oh, you know, I wish they'd get a personal stylist, or, you know, but I don't think that should be the most important thing.
I'm a bald middle-aged dude. I wake up, this is as good as it gets, you know, it's no difference.
Well, I'm so jealous of you guys, because it takes you like 2 seconds to get ready.
It does. My boyfriend always wants to kill me. Yeah.
My boyfriend's hair is like always the same, even when he wakes up.
Right.
It doesn't ever move.
Exactly. We're ready to go in 5 minutes. So when you're working with someone and maybe they start off and they're really afraid of sharing their voice, this is kind of a big question, but sort of what are the steps? I mean, how do you get someone to get comfortable with finding their voice and sharing their voice?
Yeah, I think that really it's a process. And so first of all, there's a bit of a mindset shift that's involved. So you talked about helping someone find their voice. I really believe that you don't have to find your voice. You already have it. Sure. You just have to kind of tap into it. And so there are like a gazillion articles out there about finding your voice. You don't have to find it. Like, just show up as you. But obviously that's really easy to say and harder to do. I get it. So then there's kind of some preliminary questions that you can ask yourself. There are exercises that you can do. So for example, free writing is incredibly useful when you're feeling stuck and feeling like you can't write on behalf of yourself. Just sitting down with a blank sheet of paper and timing yourself for 10 minutes and writing what you want to write, and then walking away, not editing, and coming back to it a later day, and then seeing if there's anything that you can work from. But also asking yourself certain questions, and allowing those to guide you as you move forward. One of those is, I always like to do a little reframe on the question, what do you do? Because mm-hmm. I think one that's like, we've all heard that to death, and we'll probably be grateful if we never hear it again. You know, what do you do at networking events and what have you? And I prefer to ask, how do you help people? Because that immediately shifts you into a place of service and right. helps you think about the results that you actually get for people, which is much easier for people to take in and much easier for them to apply it to their own lives. Also, why do you do what you do? Of course, Simon Sinek. It's always
right.
stealing my thunder here. But it is, you know, if you haven't watched his TED talk, I would really recommend it. He talks about the golden circle and why is in the middle. And when you have your why, that really gives you that sense of purpose in everything that you do and in every way that you show up. And then, you know, what's your message? And then, which you can often tap into by simply asking yourself, okay, who are my audience? What are they struggling right. with? How are they feeling? And what do I really want them to know? And sometimes this can be an exercise that you might want to do with someone else, like have them ask you the question and then maybe record your response, or you might just want to free write. And then, yeah, the mission piece is really tied to your movement. So what do you really want to accomplish? What do you really want? But not just for yourself, for other people. Those are some of the core components that I think if you can stay true to them as you move forward, it will really help. If you can weave them through your website copy, through any marketing that you do, people will really resonate with that. Because at the end of the day, they want to know who you are. They want to know what you stand for. They want to know what you're all about. They want to know if you're the real deal. And obviously your story as well is a piece of that. So sharing your experiences, yes, sharing your expertise and any awards that you've won and the highlights reel, but I think that we shouldn't be afraid as well to share something of the challenges that we've been through and that we've overcome, because I think that those can be powerful stories as well. And I think that they enable us to give other people permission to fail, which is an incredible thing to do.
Nikki, we have just a few minutes left, but I want to make sure to ask you this other question. I'm really curious to see what your thoughts are about this, which is, you know, we talk about putting yourself out there and, you know, building community and it'll come and all that. But the reality is oftentimes it does take some time. You know, I know it took time for me. I mean, I did everything the slow boat to China way. It took me years to really get any traction online. I don't think it has to take that long. But do you find that, I guess the question would be, how do you keep from, let's say, being demoralized if, you know, you put out that blog, you put out the podcast, you put out the video, and if you're just starting out, maybe you're not getting the huge response that you thought you would. And how do you stick it out?
I think, one, you do have to be prepared to play the long game and to create the kinds of content that will draw people to you over time. And I think, too, as well, create something that you really believe in, that you really want to share, that really does align with your movement and how you want to be showing up and what you want to be doing on behalf of others, that really does speak to their problem or their need. Create it, put it out there, whether it's a video or a blog post or whatever you choose to do, put it out there, share it as many times as feels comfortable, and then create the next thing. But don't get hung up on, you know, okay, nobody's really listened to this, or nobody's looked at that. 10 people unsubscribed. I don't know how many people unsubscribed from my emails because I removed those notifications. Like, I don't want to know that. I don't care. I'm just going to keep creating anyway. And I think that if you can have a certain resilience when it comes to your marketing, as you know, you have to have that kind of resilience as a business owner, as a human being anyway. So it's a good skill. It's a good, I guess you can call resilience a skill to master. I think if you can have that resilience, then it'll put you in good stead for the future.
I think that's really great. And I just want to reiterate that to listeners. You know, you can't get hung up on any one blog post or any one podcast. If you look at great artists, great writers, you know, I mean, for every one great novel, you know, that someone wrote, there were probably five other novels behind it that, you know, maybe were published, maybe weren't published. But I love what you're saying, that you just keep going, right? You just, you fall in love with the process, and you don't get so, you can't be so, what's what I'm looking for? Like, you can't be so attached to the outcome of any one particular piece of content as your self-worth.
No, I always talk about, there's a recent podcast episode that I did with Greg Faxon, and we talk about high intention, low attachment.
Yeah.
And that applies in all kinds of different areas of your life, but certainly when it comes to your business and when it comes to your marketing, like going into it with the best of intentions. You know, it could be a Facebook Live. Maybe no one shows up when you do it, but 20 people watch it over the course of the next week. Like, that's great, but don't get hung up on that and don't let that define how you show up or what you do in future. I mean, obviously it should do to a point, but don't let it cripple you or make you feel like you can't go in the direction that you feel called to go in.
Except for this episode, it's going to go viral. It's going to be,
you know, you caught me at the end of a day. So I feel like I probably wasn't at my sharpest, but hopefully people got some good stuff out of this.
This has been great. Let's tell listeners how they can find you, and let's definitely put in another plug for your podcast as well.
Definitely. Yeah. So I keep things simple. So my website is nikkigroom.com, and you can find me pretty much everywhere on social media at Nikki Groom. And I would love to hear from you. So please, if you do listen to this episode and you like what I had to say, if you have more questions, then let me know. On my website, I have a link to my community. I have a Facebook group called the Movement Makers Collective. I'd love to have you in there. I have a podcast on iTunes, Movement Makers. And I also have something which we didn't talk about today, but it's called the 100 Stories Worth Telling Project, which is talking about the stories of women who have turned adversity to their advantage to get where they are today. And please take a look and subscribe if it appeals to you.
Nikki Groom, thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. As always, remember, keep creating. The world needs your gifts. We'll see you next time on Creating Change. This is Doug Foresta.